Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to War Master Podcast, episode 171, with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. We are recording at the moment in the Wetherspoons of the of Edinburgh's airport.
Wetherspoons again.
Wetherspoons. So hey, it's here. It's here. It's food.
It's food. I tried to get healthy food. So I'm trying to eat a bit healthier. Like, we had pizza for the second day running at the event. I couldn't do it. I literally could not do it. Because the pizza really battered my stomach. Yesterday, and well, it was a real diet day yesterday. So full Scottish breakfast, which is everything's fried.
Yeah.
Pizza for lunch.
Yeah.
Curry for.
Yep. Yeah, you went in Rome. I think if you had asked for a salad, they probably wouldn't have given you one.
So I don't think I had any fluid that wasn't either caffeine or alcohol.
Yeah.
Since whenever we left home, that was Friday, lunch.
Yeah.
My body's feeling not exactly a temple.
Not a temple.
And Paul's already back on the left.
Well, this is to help the alcohol.
The hair of the dog doesn't work.
Hair of the dog. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, but when does the dog end?
Well, tomorrow. Like,
the hair of the dog again.
I mean, like, yeah, you know, just get pissed. No, nah, it's all right.
You'll see Paul sleeping in Aldi car park in a box.
It's okay. I mean, it's if you don't live, you're little, then what's the point in life?
I don't know, but I mean, left is not a half
measure.
It's
very nice, isn't it? Yeah, it's lovely.
It's Moorish, and yet it's nearly 7%.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's lovely. It's very smooth, very smooth.
Dangerous. And, I mean, it's only a throwaway comment, but how much was that here? 675 again?
Oh, yeah.
And when we went to the
Falkirk,
325.
£2, well, yeah. So, yeah, it's twice the price.
But
you're trapped in an airport, that's what you're going to do.
Yeah. So, even the Wetherspoons is not, it's not expensive, but it's certainly not cheap, is it? It's like 15 quid for fish and chips.
Yeah, exactly. And it won't be the best thing you've had.
No, it won't even be anywhere near the best thing. But anyway, north of the wall.
Yes.
2022.
Yeah.
Just been finished the event this afternoon.
Yeah.
We'll talk through the rounds. We'll talk through the winners and losers and riders and our games experience and the scenarios.
Yep.
First off, thanks to Ross, and then it was Gus today, wasn't it?
So yeah, yep.
Ross picked us up from the airport.
Yeah, fantastic.
Astonishing.
Yeah,
and Gus took us back to the airport today.
Yep.
So it's not a million miles away, but it's probably an hour's journey that we did in 25 minutes because we were getting the lift. So I mean, you can't get any better than that.
Yeah.
So, big thanks out to both of those fellas for that.
Yeah, huge thank you very much.
That is three. Why do people go hey when somebody drops something?
What else are you going to say?
Just ignore it.
It's British.
It is. Right, so you want to talk about the event, Paul?
Yeah, so we had five rounds of War Master. And it was Swiss, using their own scenario pack.
Tables were nice.
Sorry?
Tables were nice.
Oh, yeah. There wasn't an abundant amount of senior in any one table, but nor were there bare.
I don't know. We'll talk some of our highlights. There was a...
But it's good quality scenery.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Did you play on the Goblin table with the mushrooms?
No, I did not. No, I didn't go nice those table. Low down.
Table 7, I think that was. Pretty nice table. And I played John... Oh, spoiler. I played John Baysby on, I think, table 4, which was like a blood for the blood table.
All my games were at tables 3 and 2. All my games.
Well, you didn't come down to the...
No, I randomly started out on 3.
Right.
And stayed there.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, as in drifting up and down tables.
I played a good mixture of tables.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 4, 7, don't know which... I played at least 3 or 4 different tables. They're all good. All good
series.
Yeah,
but the scenery was finished. It was all good quality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So game one, round one.
It's this lady over there. She's charging her phone. It's not us. But I think she's only one person. So.
So we're with the spoons. So
yeah.
There's an empty table next to us with some bags on a chair. Mm. So everybody keeps coming to get the table.
It's busy.
It's busy. So, Ramon pitch battle.
Yep.
Swiss, so it's completely random.
Yep.
I don't know if they had any good system. I didn't see evidence.
No, I didn't ask. It wasn't asked at all. Yeah.
So I got to play a guy called Alan Pios. You played him at some point, didn't you?
Yes, Alan. Yeah.
40k player, like incredibly friendly guy.
Oh, really friendly.
Like ridiculously friendly. And ridiculously like upbeat, enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Like a really, really, really nice chap.
Yeah.
Thoroughly nice person who played exactly one game.
Yeah. Before. Like, this is War Master game. Like, and then he's playing in the tournament.
But saying that, he was playing High Elves. And the list was decent, decently built. And in that one game, he'd been shown the tricks you need to know to win. So even though he's on his second game, when he went in with his silver helms, he brought his flyers around the back and deleted my knights. So the tale of that game was...
I mean, in when I played him, he learned during the game. Like he learned. Like,
he was like a Borg. He was assimilating.
Yeah.
So the tail of the game was, we batted each other around a little bit. We both killed about 500 points of stuff, and it was a draw.
Yeah. Cool.
So what was your game?
So I played John from Cromarty Forge.
Game one.
Yeah, it was a random
Albion Dwarves.
Albion Dwarves. Yeah, and he had a list where it had what stood out was he had 8 units of chariots.
Yeah.
And my little dwarf army was like looking very little in comparison. It's not often like is in. Though I'm gonna talk about dice in 2 of my games, but
it's not
like,
often I talk about dice except for 60% of my games.
60% of my games. But yeah, I just couldn't catch a break in that one. Like none of my items worked. Everything that could fail, basically. And I was like, And it got me like on tilt, you know, because I wanted to be able to.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
Like I wanted to be able to get to round. My aim was to get to day 2 and still in contention for something. Yeah, that was my aim. Not the wooden spoon. You know, like and anyway, it just wasn't happening. Nothing was happening, and John just. Doesn't like he would pass 3 orders easily. Like these chariots are all around me already, so I really had to play hard, like as in terms of like really dug in. Like dwarves, like I found in all my games that it was a struggle for people to finish me off, like finish dwarves off, because in none of my games did I ever lose the artillery. Like in 5 games, I never lost the artillery.
So is it the 2 rounds of combat? Because you can't kill 12 hits of 4 of armor.
No. It's
rounds.
Just like, even though my break is only 8, I like only ever lost like in fighting units, like warriors and Rayo. Like that's where it came from. It was a pitched battle. So like I occupied the scenery that I think we didn't have a lot of scenery, but I occupied where it was. And like you say, I had to really play really hard to get a draw. Like, our game ran out of time. Like, I think that if it had continued, I think I was on the up because I'd broken the back of his army, basically. You know, like, and I could.
Well, you played 2.5 hours at this point, so, I mean.
I think if it was on a chess clock, my turns were definitely quicker. So I would still have time on my clock. Yeah, I'm a quick player, and I'm a quick player, and with a small army, I'm a very quick game. I can be. But I had to play really hard to get a draw.
Like, you got a draw, I got a draw.
Because at the time, I was like, I'm probably going to lose this, and I'm going to be out.
So it's just on the victory points, you're in the same band again.
Yeah, same band, exactly. But yeah, I was pleased with myself for salvaging a draw, like because I thought I was going to lose, like quite easily going to lose.
Right.
Yeah.
But I guess dwarf stuff is expensive, so even losing what 5-6 units, that was it. You must have lost 5 or 6 something.
Exactly. Like, but I hadn't lost the gyrocopters. I hadn't lost the artillery, so it all came from my 2.5, 3 fighting brigades.
Right. Right. So game two. Now we get started getting into the kind of little bit more not standard. Because from then on, the kind of each scenario was very different to the last one.
Yeah.
And their own rules.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
At the beginning of each round, Ross made a
explain the scenario. Yeah,
so
which is
no
good.
Confusion.
Yeah.
They had good IT, everything with the president.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a great venue for a war game event. Great venue. Probably the best venue I've played in that's been a War Master event, actually.
Oh, yeah. Loads of space.
Yeah.
Loads of space.
Well lit, spacious. You know, just us there. So
loads of space. Mm, like multiple rooms, gardens. So game two, I'm trying to remember which one of the four scenarios was. I think this was like, it was about getting to your opponent's half.
Getting
the deployment.
So you had, when the game ended, you would score the most points if you had stuff more in his half of the table. And it was unit points.
Right. So from this point onwards, breaking an army only meant the game ended.
Yeah.
And that the person who was broken couldn't win. He could lose or draw, but couldn't win.
Yeah.
And so that kind of brings this all perverse kind of meta game, doesn't it? Because you could actually be ahead on scenario and then deliberately break yourself.
Yeah, which is
you don't win though. You don't, but you just don't draw.
Yeah, it's just it's a weird one. Like, so if you were broken, the best result that you could get was a draw.
Right.
So I think there was a lot of draws in this.
There were a lot of draws. I mean, I got a lot. Well, spoiler alert.
Yeah,
I got two draws. You got two draws.
Yeah. So it like as in you might push ahead on the scenario, get broken,
it's a draw,
but the best you can get because you were broken is a draw, or you can lose. It's a bit strange.
My default position is that if you get broken you lose,
same,
and the other guy wins,
same, because you got broken,
and then you'd have to fiddle about with how you'd actually score the points for one.
But
it wasn't that it was wrong, because you couldn't win if you got broken. But it just made a whole load of, because in order to win the objectives, you generally had to do things you didn't want to do. So whether it's you have to have more stuff in your opponent's half, or you have to have more stuff in your opponent's deployment zone, or whatever it is, if one player's got pushing into the other person's half, they're going to take more damage generally, because there's more stuff hitting them. So therefore, I got ahead on scenario, like you say, and then got broken.
Because you had to expose yourself to get ahead on the scenario, I guess.
So, and on the flip side, what happened in my game is I was behind on the scenario, but broken.
Yeah.
And, broken, massively.
Yeah, yeah.
So, my game two, game one was against high elves, I don't know if I did say that. Game two was dark elves.
Right.
And I had, the horrible situation where he's got six cold ones and I've got four knights. Now, he can afford to trade four cold ones for my four knights and still have two cold ones. Which are going to ruin me. So it's like, I have to commit to kill his cold ones rather than allow him to charge me. Because the difference, if they charge you, it's over. Even if you charge them, it's on the evens.
Mm.
So I did everything I could to get the charge off. I got the charge off. So I put four units in against his three units.
Yeah.
I got a weird enchantment off.
Yep.
To kind of make one of his guys terrorized. And I committed heroes and stuff. I don't have any terror causes, but I committed heroes with the sword. I lost. I not only lost the combat, lost horrifically. So then what happened was he got no damage to anything.
Right.
Or maybe lost one stand, and I lost two stands from two units.
Yeah.
And then he just simply reformed and just rolled me up on the flank. Just rolled up all my knights.
Yeah.
So I lost all four knights.
Ouch.
And so now I've got to fight a game against six cold ones. Two of them had a wound on them, lost a stand.
Yeah.
With no knights.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I managed to do it and break it.
Yeah.
And I think I've done nearly 1,100 victory points.
Yeah.
Was the amount to break.
That's a lot. That's a hell of a lot. Yeah. It's a lot. Yeah. In War Master.
Because characters are 300, 400.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he must have taken everything. Yeah,
all the expensive stuff.
All the expensive stuff. Yeah, yeah.
And I broke him and drew.
Yeah.
And like, Jesus Christ, I felt like I should have been given like some kind of award.
Yeah.
To even get to this stage.
Yeah,
in the game.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
But it was a good game. The guy was a good player. Dark Elves are really a meat. You'd have loved him. He had no scepter.
Yeah, good.
He just said, "I'm not going to blunder."
Yeah,
and guess
good.
What?
Yeah, he didn't blunder. He didn't blunder. Yeah, exactly. Like that positive mindset. Not going to blunder.
Not going to blunder.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't blunder.
Didn't blunder.
Okay, so your game two.
So my game two was against Andrew Alan High Elf player. So the guy that
game three for him.
So the guy that had played event is it yeah the guy Barry had played the first time, and yeah, I mean, echoing Barry, he what a lovely guy, and he like where in my last game nothing worked, in this one everything worked. Everything worked, and I've got a little picture here of the game to remind me. So that's our setup, me on that side, I was like, okay, I got to advance on. I had a nice hill in the middle of the table that I could dominate from. Started shelling his stuff, I've noticed something with me as a player, like I might, how lucky am I being? I'll feel like that way, and it's like, how much can I push? And like in the previous game, I'm going to get one order off my general. What is it going to be? In this one, I was like, I'm probably going to get three orders off my general, like easily. Right. I've got the luxury of command. He had his cavalry, his two units of silver helms each on each side, so he kind of set up quite symmetrical. And it just rolled really quite nicely for me. So like I was shelling his stuff. There was a moment where because I need to get across the table to get the most points. Yeah, and so I was like marching dwarves. He tried to get to my artillery with two units of silver helms. He's using a wizard to do it. And if he had gotten the second order, that would have been the only time in all five games that anyone threatened my artillery.
But if he'd have used the general instead of wizard, he probably would have done it.
If the general was better positioned on that side or something. Yeah, like
you could have set that up.
Yeah,
you really?
If he'd set up the move.
Yeah.
And I hadn't guarded it because my stuff is getting across the table to like get where the big scenario points are. So he failed, luckily for me, you could say, or unlucky, he failed that role, and I could then just order my turn my artillery like to face him and just battered gyrocopters. I was told off by Janice and Jim for taking two gyrocopters, like they're rubbish, they're useless. Actually, they were really good for me, like because they could just put out their six shots where I needed them to go. In this case, the cannons would shoot one unit of silver helms, and the gyrocopters would peck the other one, so push them back out of 30, so he's two moves away again. Might get it worked really nicely,
right.
Played and then I won this game comfortably. I like high break like side to me. I broke him, but and I had I'd he didn't score like any of the content scenario points, I don't think, because I had mine and his.
Right, yeah,
it was a big win.
You could score a maximum of 200 in all.
I never got 200, but I got a big score. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'll just point you in here.
I won this game by killing his general. Because when I was like smashing up his stuff, his general looked exposed, and I was like, and I said to him like, who's within 30 of your general? And actually there was nobody. So I said, well, do you understand what happens with the general? And it's like, let's minimum move him so he's somewhere, he can go somewhere. Because this guy's a new player. And I said to him, we had a long discussion about it afterwards. And, and it's like, you've got to be a good ambassador for the game.
Be a dick.
No, I'm not going to be a dick.
And it's like a legal procedure in Blood Bowl, isn't it?
Exactly.
I need you to come pick me up, all right? I got bit by fucking disease, dog. God damn it.
So we move on to game three, and I get paired with, because I'm really down the bottom tables now,
mm-hmm.
with two draws. I mean, anybody with one win's above me, so yeah, that's quite a lot. Anyway, so I play a guy called Chris, and he's using High Elves. So far I've played High Elves, Dark Elves, and now High Elves.
Yep.
So the nightmare scenario. But he's like, he's not having much luck, and he's not enjoying the game.
Yeah, this, yeah. Go on, carry on.
You, no, I don't want to say too much about it because I mean, you don't know people's mental states and stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you're not enjoying the game and the luck's going against you, and even when things go your way, you're still kind of beating yourself up about the things that didn't go your way. So, on balance in gaming, stuff will go well, stuff will go bad, and you just turn and move on.
Yeah.
So you try not to focus too much on either the good stuff or the bad stuff, and you just kind of take it with a pinch of salt.
Mm-hmm.
But what was happening is he was focusing on the stuff that went bad, but not allowing the stuff that went well to compensate.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could have 9 things go well, 1 thing go bad, and you just...
You focus on the one.
Yeah, that went bad.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, no one's truly unlucky, because they do tend to focus on the examples that selective memory.
Yeah, selective memory, exactly. If you don't get punched in the face 9 times, but then get punched in the face once, you remember the one you get punched in the face?
Yeah.
Not the 9 times you didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it's not often that a game ends with somebody conceding.
Yep.
But that's what happened, because he really wasn't enjoying the game at all.
Did he come back?
Yeah, he came back.
He did come back, yeah, right.
But, so, I mean, there's no big deal. I mean, if anybody knows me, I'm quite happy to concede if I'm not having a good time.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm quite happy to, if I'm not enjoying the game, there is an element of socialness to it. But
it's a social contract.
But it's also supposed to be fun.
Yes.
So if it's not fun for you or your opponent, then why are you playing?
Yeah.
So I don't have any problems conceding. I will happily concede.
Yep.
I'm not a big believer in this. You must play it out. You must kind of take your medicine. No, not that.
Yeah.
You don't tell me how to lose or win. I'll be gracious and I'll shake your hands and I'll say, well done. I'm not staying here just taking punishment for your fun.
Yeah.
If I'm not having fun, then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Move on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my first win, but it was a bit of a bitter pill of a first win.
Right.
Okay. It was a concession, and the rules were quite vague about a concession, so we had to kind of gerrymander it a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As in, like, okay, let's assume this happens to get a result.
We should talk about the scenario, because the scenario, again, was one of those really weird, you've got to get to their side.
Yeah.
So in order to win, you had to have more stuff in the two quarters.
Yeah.
So you split the table into 4 quarters.
Yeah.
And I've got to have more stuff in both your home quarters.
Yeah.
Which meant that you've got to get your stuff into their table side. They've got to get their stuff into yours.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the random point when the game ends, either because the 2.5 hours is up or someone breaks, you look at the table quarters and see who's got the most.
Yeah.
And that's based on
points, not units.
Some of them were based on how many stands you had, but this was based on points. So, I think what happened was he had a couple of turns where the general didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And as a higher player, that can get quite frustrating. He had 3 characters, so he's still doing stuff. He said he had a sorcerer and he had a fellow on a dragon. But, So, if the fight ends up being in your half of the table, you feel like you're losing all the time. But the attrition rate on my stuff was mad. I was getting murderized because I'm fighting in this half of the table.
Yeah.
And he's got like 6 silver helms or whatever. He's got bolt throw or whatever. And my artillery's too far behind to actually do anything.
Because
it's on the hill. Because when you're using artillery, you find a hill, you bunker on the hill.
Yeah.
And hopefully the fight stays within range. But if it doesn't, you can't really go running after the fight.
My jaws do.
Look at your paws. You've got an Egypt chain.
Yeah.
But then if you get caught in the open, that's game over, isn't it, with a unit of silver helms? It's not that hard to order a unit of silver helms to get you in the flank, and then it's good night.
Well, I mean, depends on the ranges of things, but yeah, go on. Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, so
anyways, you can mitigate it to be like 3 moves, sometimes.
Sometimes. 60's a long way.
No, but anyway, go on, carry on.
But anyway, so the upshot of the game is that this is another one where you had to be really aggressive. It's a nice air conditioning unit.
Yeah, okay.
I'll hopefully try and take that buzz out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's all part of the ambience.
Yeah.
Just imagine it's rain instead of a air conditioning unit.
So the bus has been turned on, and we have an air conditioning unit going on now, which is here. Right, fair enough.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
Your scenario. So I get a win. So I'm on one.
Yep.
My third.
My third game is here. It is a picture of I got is against a guy called Guy, and he was using the most.
He's been down to the LGBT.
Yeah. LGBT, blah blah blah.
Plus.
Yeah, like plus. You know, like quite a few times, and he had the most different list I came across. All like everybody else's list, I would say, was quite standard. This was quite different. So he went for a Witch Hunter list, which was Breakpoint 17, had a lot of Zealot units, made up mostly of this 3-3 nothing, you know, like fanatical units that hates Chaos Armies.
So do they get an extra attack on the charge? Are they 5 or only against
Chaos?
No,
they're 3-3 nothing, but they get an additional dice against Chaos Armies.
Which now includes other things
like
Skaven.
Yeah, things that are
Wars.
Actually Chaos, yeah, like, yeah.
Peacemen.
Well. Yeah. And table quarters. So I'm looking at my tiny army, Breakpoint 8, against his army, Breakpoint 17.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm like, right, okay. How am I going to do this?
And again, this is about the points that you get on the other person's side of the table. In the quarters on the other person's side of the table.
So he's got a lot of stuff. You know, like, units for days. Not the biggest army I've ever seen. The biggest army I've ever seen is is my Skaven, you know, Breakpoint 20. I've not ever seen anyone use anything bigger.
We've proxied a game, but actually in an event.
In organised play. So I'm like, right, okay. And he had a unit of cannons in there. And like deep in the middle of like a lot of zealots. Like he's in the middle of a line. And I was sitting there and I was like, cannons.
One unit of cannons.
Two units of cannons. And I was like, right, how am I going to deal with those cannons? You know, like, because I can't stand to attrition off units. Like, if he fires and bings up one of my units a turn, I can't have that because I only have Breakpoint 8 to begin with.
But you dinging at Witch Hunters doesn't really matter.
Yeah, like, if I murder, death, kill a unit of Zealots. Hello. Right, hang on. Yeah, so, and I was like, and I mulled, so there was like, right, he's presenting me with a problem, and I went quite deep into my tank to think about how am I going to deal with that problem? Because if I don't deal with that problem, that'll win the game. That'll win the game, you know, quite easily. You know, so I was like, right, mull it over. I sat there and I was thinking about it for like probably 3-5 minutes of like, and I was going to go with I'm going to have to command 10 this and somehow manage to storm the guns when they come into range, which, you know, he got them forward on. I had a first turn. He pulled off 3 orders or whatever he needed to get in, and he actually killed out a unit straight away of my stuff
with the cannons.
It's like, oh,
what kind of you warriors?
Rangers. Nice. Yeah, like, and I was like, oh, right, okay.
That, were you in column then, or did he?
Yeah, I was in column because I'd failed all. I had a failed order.
That's crazy.
I had a bad turn of orders. Like, I think
you
I passed
never
one
be in
order.
Column against cannons.
Anyway, it was not expected. Like, I didn't expect him to get the 3 orders he would need. You know, anyway. But so like, I was sitting there thinking about it, and then I realised, gyrocopters. This will be the way to do this. So he had positioned his cannons like with zealots, a lot of zealots either side, and the cannons were set back. So firing at you, they'd never be the closest thing, opposite them, because the zealots are far enough forward that they'll be closer.
Yeah.
And I can see that that's his intention to do that. And it's like, fair enough, that's what he's doing. But I realised, so luckily my cannons were opposite his, pretty much. And I was like, right, all I need to do is I need to offset my cannons so like they're on one side.
Yeah.
And I used one of my gyrocopters, and I sent it on a 60-centimeter charge in to the unit of zealots that was closest to the cannons.
Yeah.
Now they're not the closest thing, and because my cannons are directly opposite his cannons, like in the, you know, basically directly opposite that zealot unit. Now his cannons are the closest target.
Yeah,
because
nice maneuver.
Yeah, and I was like. Because they're not supporting the zealots. They're off center to them, and he's only set them back like a centimeter, like the minimum. You know, so but like
it's a mistake. Basically, it's a mistake. I worked out how to do it.
So did you shoot at one unit?
Yeah,
cannon?
1 unit cannon.
So
yeah.
8 hits, that's a cannon gun.
My 2 unit cannons fire on his, delete a unit, so that's dropped him down to, you know, 1 unit of cannons left. Obviously, you know.
Return fire, you get to shoot your cannon, though, I guess.
I'd set up other things to catch. I deployed more in depth.
Right, okay.
You know, because I'm Command 10. And so I was really, I was really pleased with myself for working that out.
Right.
As in, problem, solution, found. You know, he never, obviously, then he realised, because I exploited his mistake, he never made that mistake again.
Yeah.
So he started deploying in depth more. But there you go. Got you, caught it. Caught that.
So you tend not to put the cannons right at the front. What?
Yeah.
Tend to do is go on a hill and shoot over my stuff. So there's shitloads of stuff in the way.
Yeah. Now you could have said that my actual first turn error, I did not expect him to bring them forward.
Yeah.
Made you, if I was, it wasn't a bait by me. I just didn't expect him to move forward.
It was a relatively fair trade. You got your one unit ranges, you got one cannon, although you've got the range of the game.
Exactly. That in terms of game state at that moment, I needed to deal with those his cannons because I couldn't sustain losses of a dinged up unit a turn. I could not. The game would not go very long then. And I'm trying to win. So then, he covered that error. And the gyrocopter even managed to get away. Lost the fight, backed away.
They can't chase.
Because he can't chase.
So then did he not reform and go in your flank or anything?
He charged it, but it got away. He got very lucky. It managed to live.
Even the subsequent turn.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are lucky sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, zealots aren't quality troops. Yeah,
attacks.
I used a bit of scenery to help defend myself.
Okay.
In a way. Anyway, I'd written off that gyrocopter. I did not expect to get it back.
Right.
Because I needed to exchange it then we could play on. Anyway, and this was a long game. This game again ran out of time. I mean,
He has got a lot of stuff.
He's got a lot of stuff, and it was most of the time was him. And I had to really spread out my dwarves quite a bit to try and catch as much of his engage much of his army as possible. It reminded me obviously of playing of a Skaven army where there's a lot of bad troops. And dwarves do have tools for that. My standard of shielding was working, protecting my iron breakers, and dwarves are good for, so I would chop down a couple of units, I'd back off, hold my wounds, get into a good defensive position again. He bounces, I retort back in, retain my wounds. So when the game ended, I'd cut down, as I recall, something like 9 or so units, for not much loss at all on my side. But the game then ran out of time.
How was it a draw then? Because nobody broke.
Yeah, so he pushed forward, and again, my 2 gyrocopters flew over to a table quarter of his that he'd moved through and captured it. So I saw another opening again to catch his cannons where he'd left them. There was a point where there was nothing to one of their flanks, so my gyrocopters went on a 100-centimeter move, landed, fire on those cannons, and killed them.
Right, but they were the gyrocopters allowed to contest?
Yes,
and stuff in
yes,
this.
Yeah.
Okay. So the gyrocopters got you a draw right at the end.
Yeah, well, got me a draw. They put me in a drawing position, but if the game had continued, it was momentum me because I've cut down 8-9 of his units for no.
Yeah, but this game is designed to be judged when the 2.5 hours is up, because if you don't break, that is how the game ends.
There is no
turn, it ends at turn 6, it just goes on forever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So either you break or the round time ends.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's similar to the game that I had the first round that was a draw. I think that if it was chess clocks, I wouldn't have run out of time. Like, my turns were short.
You've got an elite army for a start. Very far.
Well, if I was moving it around.
Yeah, but you don't move that much, do you? It's not like break 17 fucking
chunks. Yeah, exactly. But like, so, if there was a chess clock there, I wouldn't have run out of time. Like
it wasn't.
Well, no, I'm saying if there was.
Mate, if the dog hadn't stopped for a shit, it'd have caught the rabbit. Is
what
my granddad used to say.
What does that mean?
It means that, you know, like it's butts and monkey nuts, mate. It's like
what?
If my uncle Bob didn't have a willy, be me aunt Brenda or whatever.
What are you coming out with?
So you're talking about that you've got to play the game.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
So I like round clocks. Ross has some round clocks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have your hard clock or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a different system. Talking about the fact that I would have won if we used a different clock, but we didn't.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. So yeah, I ended up with a draw on that game.
But if you'd have had more stuff in his half when the clock ended, you'd have won, is what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, true. I mean, but it's a... Because the thing is, these elves don't cost any points, do they? And it's like...
But they're also not worth any points.
Yeah. So
you need...
That's okay. Oh.
Two of you together, that's fine. But what if one of you is the monster?
Monster? They're British, you know.
We're going to have to fast forward a bit because we haven't got unlimited time. We've still got day two to go.
Yeah.
So you're one win, two draws. I'm one win, two draws.
Yes.
Saturday night, go for a curry.
Yeah.
Now, I might say something controversial here, and it's probably my own fault.
Right.
But my curry was very good.
Your curry was very good?
No, it wasn't very good.
Oh, it wasn't very good. Oh, okay.
And it's a common problem. I should really stop having paktia because it's a really kind of... I don't know what part of India it's from, but sometimes you get it and it's just like spicy tomato soup with a bit of meat flour in it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get it and it's full of like onions and the sauce, thin onion and stuff, not fried. A little sauce, and it's for the heat and the sweet as well. I've got some like tomato sauce, a bit of chicken flour in it.
Well, I guess you better stop ordering that unless you know it's good.
I think the problem is you should just go, when you go to a curry shop away from home, it's like, just go for something like, I don't know, a madras if you like it spicy, or something like a dough piazza, or something that's kind of Rogan Josh, it's like mainstream.
Right, okay.
Rather than something easier
to cook.
I don't think it's easier to cook. I think the paktia recipe is like, it's not stable.
Right.
So when you order a paktia from one place, it's completely different to a different
place.
Yeah, right. And a couple of times I've had it, and it has just literally been like spicy tomato soup with the chicken flour in it.
Okay.
So that's my fault. But yeah. I'm sure the other stuff was good. And the naan bread that I had with it was brilliant.
Right.
On the plus side.
Yeah.
Like, too big for me to eat meat.
Yeah. Big
did you have a naan bread?
We had a naan bread, yeah. But I had one between two.
Oh, I just had a naan bread, no rice. I couldn't eat it.
It was
a monster of a thing.
Yeah.
It was like an elephant's ear.
Mm.
Right. Mm. So, and Paul in his Paul's special was, I asked him what he had. He said, I don't know. I just said, give me whatever he's having.
Yeah.
But you didn't even know what he'd ordered.
A handy? Handy was cool.
Well, what's a handy?
It was a lamb handy.
What's a handy?
What's a handy with you? No, it's just a curry. Like, is it
what do you mean, just a curry?
Well,
it's not random. It's like...
Yeah, what?
It's just an English meal. I don't know what it is. It's just got some stuff in it.
No, it was a lamb mold. I don't know.
You wouldn't make much of a food critic, would you? A restaurant critic. You think, well, what was it? It was a curry, mate. I don't know.
And it's like, okay, so... Okay.
Did it have onions in it? Did it have peppers in it?
Yeah, but like my point, my thing is that I would say that, unless I've been to that restaurant before and like the dish I particularly liked, I guess. So it's like, I'm just like, okay, who does go to this one regularly?
Yeah, it's the first
time. And I was like, Ross. I was sitting next to Ross.
Were you? Were sitting next to you then?
Well, you were one day, and then you got overruled.
So I'd forgotten to take a tablet because we were having a really, super stomach intensive day.
Yeah.
Of, fried bloody everything for breakfast, pizza for lunch, and bloody curry for dinner.
Yeah.
So I had to rush back to the hotel. And when I got back, I was evicted.
Yeah.
From my seat. I had to go sit on the naughty step on my own.
I'm afraid so, yeah.
But then, lucky John and a couple of other people joined in. I wasn't on my own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, your beer was still there. Like, no one drank your beer. Yeah. I mean, I tried to defend your seat, but I was overruled.
Senior rank,
yeah.
Senior rank. The man, the myth, the machine.
Yeah.
And then we went to a live music bar afterwards.
Where we'd gone before. Yeah.
Had you?
Yeah, we... Oh, sorry, you hadn't been there. Last year, they took us to that bar. Yeah.
Right. On the Friday night, we were in Port, like at some kind of gay bar called the Orchard. Or
it felt like a gay bar, yeah.
It probably isn't a gay bar.
No, it's just a friendly bar.
Friendly bar. Yeah. And then we went to this Beyond the Wall, I think was the name of the place, which is a bit of a live music venue.
Yes, yeah.
And then we had the...
It's cool, it's nice, yeah. I got some good, and I got some nice photos of the four of us. Yeah, that's cool.
People drifted away throughout the night, and then it was just me and you, and then we went...
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they closed up behind the wall, and then we went to back to the Orchard.
Yeah. Right, for a nightcap.
For a nightcap.
Oh yeah, so we've got to say this story.
Paul fell asleep, as usual.
When? What?
Listen, both nights you fell asleep. On Friday you fell asleep twice.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, like, so the, we're walking back, and so we've left everybody else, like, we're the last ones, standing, because we finished up our drinks there, and we're going back to have a drink in our, like, hotel, like, you know, bar of the hotel on the way back, and we're walking up to what seems to be a very lively bar, like, pub, it looks like a club, really.
It did look
like, and anyway, as we're walking up to it, it's like, we get this car drives past us, and we get squirted with water from a water pistol, water gun.
It's like one of those super soakers.
Yeah, super soakers.
It's like a real... It's like a really big blast.
Yeah, exactly. And it got me... Right, I'm on the side closest to the road. Got me very well and good. And
you
got as well. Exactly. And the car...
It's like a sniper.
Yeah, sniper. The car just drove past. And we got a drive-by shooting. And it was hilarious. Because it was like... It was water. Like, the guy had, like... fired piss at us, or it wasn't acid or something. It was like, and I was like, because it happened, and it was over before. What? And then I thought, well, hang on, it was wet, but like there wasn't puddle. Was that
Good
a puddle?
Smell.
Yeah, was that a puddle of water?
Puddle.
I was like, no, someone intentionally shot us with a water gun.
Brilliant.
And I thought that we did find that funny. And then so we carried on, like walked past the very busy like club. And there was these two ladies coming up to it.
And they weren't young ladies. They were mature ladies.
And I was just... And I was trying to ask, oh, that looks busy. What's the name of the place? It looks busy. And my retort back from this lady was, fuck off your English. And I was like...
Am I?
So that was... Yeah, that was her reply back to me. And I was like...
Did you ever find out what it was?
No, I was like... Well, I was like, fair play. I mean, I am English. And... We're in Scotland, and I need to be told that I'm English, and
constantly
that I'm English, and I should be fucked off. You know, like, now if we were in London, I'd be like, hang on, that's a bit rude. But it's like, in Scotland, maybe it's a merry greeting,
friendly greeting.
I was like, it's true, it's an honest statement. I am English.
Yeah. It's just a statement of facts.
Statement of facts, wasn't it? Yeah, I am English.
Hurrah!
Yeah, so it's good.
Good Sunday morning, rough. I was feeling rough.
Oh, you were feeling rough.
I really was feeling rough. I don't generally play that bad when I'm feeling rough, but I was struggling with the shakes.
Me too.
I was trying to move my stomach, my hands were shaking.
Yeah, definitely. Like, one of my gyrocopters had to be fixed. I had to ask someone else to fix it for me. I couldn't do it. Yeah, like, and I was like having to stand up and lean on something. You know, like, hold myself together. But, yeah, it's because Barry, like, I drunk slip and woke up at about 6:30. Barry really snores.
Good for me. I didn't know I really snored.
Yeah, like, oh, yes, you do. Like, and you're dying, and I'm listening to you dying. And he's also got on his phone, like, an LBC, like the radio.
News
radio is going off, political bashing of Boris Johnson.
Boris Johnson.
And I'm like, I can hear this word for word. And I've got like Barry going, like it's in like, it's like he's struggling to breathe, and he's like,
so you put me in recovery position.
Well, as I considered it, and I was like, look at him, listening to him die there, and it's like that was it. I was like, oh my god, am I going to fall back to sleep? No. So I actually got up and started painting because I had nothing else to do. Like in terms of like, well, he's woke, because we had a late 9:30 start, so at home the kids wake up at 7:00. You never sleep beyond 7:00.
No.
So this was a proper lie-in for me, and I couldn't take advantage of it.
You don't deserve a lie-in.
Yeah, I just couldn't take it.
I deserve a lie-in.
So I would say.
So we'll get on to game four. Game four was a beak The score are from 1-1. So let me start the game.
Onslow Green.
Yeah, there you are. So I'm playing John Baisley. You played Devon, haven't you? So
I've played everyone. Yep.
He's got Albion.
Eight units of chariots.
And I've got I've got Empire. So we have a fantastic ding dong of a game. I move forward a little bit, just get one unit on the CD, so I'm scoring a point. John has the most insane round of command I have ever seen, where he literally ran out of stuff to order and he'd given everything, like three orders across the board apart from one brigade. And he's got quite a big army, like rank 11 or something, that only got one order, and everything else got three orders and was in my half of the table. So that my turn two was all on initiative. And by the end of his turn two, we were both nearly broken.
Wow.
And then there was a bit of silliness around him touching my general and me trying to say, do I be a real cheesy bastard and try and break myself to win on points? And we kind of played it out properly. We had a gentleman's agreement. And the game was done by turn three because we'd run out of time fighting.
Yeah.
It wasn't we run out of time moving because there was no fucking movement. Fighting.
Yeah.
And he had half a break left and I had 1.5 break left.
Wow.
And he won 3-2. And it was mental.
Yeah.
And I had two chances in my third turn on very strong chances, like rolling. I think at one point I needed to kill a unit and I got like 22 attacks in and I didn't do enough and yeah. So I could have broken him, I didn't break him, he won on scenario. It was probably the best game of the weekend for me because it was just from the beginning of game one. My cannons shot twice in the game. It's only three turns.
So
I go first.
Yeah.
They shot birds in the flank, 16 dice, did 3 wounds.
Yeah.
Good stuff. They shot a unit of chariots in the front, 3 wounds. So they took 2 stands off in an entire game.
Wow.
And they shot every turn they could.
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes, if you're facing cannons, just bring the game to them. If there's nothing not fighting, they can't shoot anything.
Yeah, true, yeah. Cheat them of something to fire at, yeah.
So it was a brilliant game. I lost 3-2. Well done, John. My one and only loss. Okay.
My game was against Stuart, who was playing Skaven, and he had a breakpoint. 14 Skaven army.
Okay, so medium.
Medium, yeah, like, yeah. And again, but this, so unfortunately for him, obviously I've played a lot of Skaven, used Skaven recently, so I know, like, what they don't like to face, how type of tactics they don't like to face against. And I used, my army to, like, my 3 combat brigades to make one big long line of dwarves. And this scenario favoured me because I've just got to hold this area here. Yeah. And you might even see on this picture here how he set up his army with a lot of rat swarms apart from it.
So they need individual orders.
Which he did do, but like,
what's the point of splitting them up?
Yeah, it's like I said to him afterwards, like, mass your stuff together.
Yeah.
Limited
brigade.
Yeah, exactly. I said, how many units could be in a Skaven brigade? Stick them all together. And this was basically like a Skaven list, like, that I would want to use. It's got something of everything. Everything in the... Oh, no, I didn't have any gutter runners, but it's got everything else in the army list is represented. So I moved... Despite having a bad order, Skaven aren't getting more than 2 orders in a turn, like, forward, because they can't go for... because they can't run command 20. And so I'd gotten on his objective nicely. I'd set up a nice defensive position. My cannons are firing at something every turn because there's always going to be a target.
Yeah, always.
Yeah, and it's mostly rat swarms, but rat swarms count for break, so that's okay. There was some big combats, like, big long combat, being fought.
Mahusu,
like, as in combat resolution, like, resulting in, like, 20 or something. Wow. I scored 20, etc. And I was, cutting him down because he hadn't come in he hadn't come in as strong as he could have done, like, because of some failed orders.
Well, we're going to have to speed up now, because we're only about 10 minutes away, okay. If that.
Yeah, okay, so, and then...
So you won on
scenario. I broke him. Broke him. So I also was head on the scenario.
Okay,
cool. Yeah, like, and I explained to him what he should have done is come together more en masse and then enveloped my line, like, and maybe not have attacked me until he could envelop my line.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. So game five was similar to game four, in that it had objectives, so you had to get stands in, but they had two of them on the flanks rather than one in the middle.
Yep.
So I played the Kislev army. I haven't played Kislev before. I finally know what Warhacking does and how it moves and stuff, because the rules are bonkers. Bears are dog shit. Like, really, really bad, really. Yeah. And we had a... Again, because you scored the beginning of turn one, I was 6-0 up before he did anything because he failed his command rolls.
Yep.
And then the rest of the game, we both scored 4 points each, nobody broke, so it would have been a draw.
Yeah.
But the way the scenario worked was whoever went first, if you get on the objectives and the other person doesn't get back on them in their turn, you're 6-0 up. And that's very difficult to come back from unless you break the opponent.
Yep.
Okay, so I won. It was a very, very good game against... I'm so bad with names, I've forgotten him. Ryan. Okay, cool. And it was a really good game, he's a really good guy, and I'm sorry you don't have more time to talk about it, but I'm going to give it to Paul.
Right, cool. My last one was against Alex Chanaway.
Really?
So I'm on table two.
You've got to beat the man to beat the man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's the top table, and we're on table two, because Janice had lost the game against Guy.
There was a chance you could win.
Five people could win the event going in. No one was beaten. Like, no one put that on. He's using Araby, and there's the two zones, and you know, I knew that I was like, right, I'm gonna have to play big to to beat Janet. Like, I need to do something that he doesn't expect. So there was two, and there's two bits that stood out to me. Like, so he had a unit of magic carpets, and they were like, my cannons are so vulnerable to that. Mm. And I was like, mulling over how am I going to defend them?
We got.
And it's like nothing's going to really work, you know, like, for defending them. Even if I surround my cannons, then they're not firing, so why do that?
Yeah.
You know, like, what I did was I sent both my gyrocopters after them. Like, so I moved them to shoot at his magic carpets. They gunned them down, sent them off the table, and that certainly nullified their effect. But then Janus passed the two orders he needed to turn stuff around to attack my two gyrocopters. So I lost those gyrocopters doing that. But I had to do it. It was out here with the most cannons. It's like moving my two main brigades, like two better brigades, to one to each zone. So I was going to, I'm going to go for both of them. And there was convenient hills close to both, so I get partially defended in those zones.
Oh, nice.
It's going to be all right. But what can I say? Like, Janna's luck.
She managed to get you out of defended brigades in the zone.
Yes.
He deserves everything, man.
Yeah. So, on one side, in sending two units of knights, and, like, I really shouldn't lose these fights, but I'm losing this fight. And when counted, I did his stuff. I could die of the 4+. The odds are 11%.
It's a fifth of a percent.
And that's what happened to me. And I was like, so I just lost this unit for nothing, you know, and I can't sustain big losses like that.
No.
So those knights then did more work and
it sounds like the attrition was just wearing you out.
But attrition that shouldn't have happened.
But did he break you then?
Yes, he broke me.
And he was ahead on the board?
Yes, he was, yeah.
All right, okay. Yeah. So it was a handsome win
for handsome win for January. So he got, you know, a big score, but it's like, you know, with the two armies that we had and the scenario, I was like, I think the advantage is to him. And, you know,
well, and the fact that he knows dwarves inside out.
Exactly, that as well. But I wasn't going to, you can't let a guy's reputation beat you before you start the game. It's right. I'm going to... But I would, you know, I would have taken the same risk again. Like, the Gary Cox example, that was likely to make... Because, it did what I did. I failed those orders and sounds, and I could have maybe just got back to them. Happen. And, the spike of dice I'm explaining, it just wasn't working for me. Like, as in, I lost control of two zones with partially defended dwarf infantry.
Nice.
You know, it's like
dwarves, yeah, hard to shift.
It had to be I couldn't be on the hill because the hills weren't in the zones, but yeah. You know, partially defended is still defended, but you get charge bonuses. Yeah, there you go.
So you know, that allowed him to win. He came back from four to win or something.
Yeah, exactly. So, because he had a big result against me, and the guy leading the top table, like the person who was ranked second, won the top table, and that put them on the same points as Janna's, and Janna's won on objective points. Yeah, you know, by like 10 or something.
So Janna's got 4 wins and a loss.
Yeah, 4 wins and a loss.
The guy that came second with the high elves got 4 wins and a loss.
Or did he get 3 wins and like? Oh yeah, he got the same score.
Yeah, it's sort of 4 wins and a loss.
Yeah, yeah. And
Janna's wins on 10
objective points.
And you could get
200 in a game.
So there was 1,000 objective points over the weekend, and he won by 10.
And I gave him like.
You gave him loads. Mate.
I gave him loads.
You gave him everything.
And it's like, you know, I did because we looked at the results beforehand and we knew that. If Guy won, he would win the event. And if he drew, I didn't realise the second player, we could, you know, if the second player won, I thought the top table had to draw to like for one of me or Janna's to win the event. But like, but I said, like, if you told me beforehand that I'm going to get be in contention for winning the event at the end with my dwarves, I'd have taken that. I was like, that was pretty cool. And Janna's is always a gent to play. So, it was, great game. Really.
Cool. So Janna's wins, High Elf second. Jim is about 13th, I think. He had a bad day too. He was really towards the top in day one.
Yeah.
I think Paul came 8th, maybe. He was at 7th, 8th, and I was
1-8, 1-8 from you, yeah.
So, I mean, it was a decent result. I wasn't expecting much from Empire. I got 2 wins.
What would you change for the list?
I ain't got time for that. But I got 2 wins, 2 draws and a loss. And that was same as you. 2 wins, 2 draws and a loss.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
So both respectable results.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can see the problem with Dwarf Rangers. Like, that
they
never,
don't have a role anymore.
Yeah, it's like, as in, even when I could have used them to pursue stuff, like cavalry, they were too dinged up or the cavalry was still too intact to chase them.
Well, they can't take the support. And
yeah, they can't, and that's the thing, they can't take the support. If they could somehow take the support...
But they can't.
Yeah,
so break the core.
So, and I was like, so I can see the problem. Like, I never once used the Rangers' like special ability. Yeah, they're still like decent troops, with 5 up armor and a shot. But, the mixture of range of gunners and warriors would be better, probably.
Okay. So we're going to wrap up now, unfortunately, but I would like to say thanks to Ross and the Falkirk boys.
Yeah.
Put on an amazing event, like hospitality of the wazoo. Like,
yeah, fantastic. Like, we had two nights out. It was great.
We're like really well looked after at the event, like really well fed. Like, they were doing so much for you, bringing you tents, bringing you this, bringing you that. Nothing was too much trouble.
No, yeah.
And amazing. If you do get the opportunity to go up there and experience it,
yeah,
and please do. I will do my damnedest to come up next year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is. It's obviously it's a 3-day operation. Like, because you've got to get there for us. But it is.
It is definitely a premier event.
Yeah, it's a premier event. It's
probably the best venue for sure.
Oh yeah, so it's without second to none. It's the best wargaming independent, like, not that's like a shop or something. It's the best place to have a wargaming event. Like,
it's brilliant.
As a venue,
so
it's
much
like,
space. Yeah, yeah. Brilliant. So anyway, we're going to have to wrap up, unfortunately. Yeah. We're back home in Broomfield. Or yep. Broomfield for me.
Yep.
Broomfield for Paul, because that's where he stored his little illegal scooter.
It's not illegal. Luckily, I own private land. Like,
well, between your house.
Between your house, yeah.
Yeah, do you now?
Yeah.
Like a runway. Underground runway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So this is episode 121. All my podcasts are about the North of the Wall.
North of the Wall?
North of the Wall.
North of the Wall.
Oh, it's all the Wall. The name of the event. Brilliant. Yep. Anyway, that's the name of the event. We'll see you again next time.
Bye.
Yep.
Would you like to know more?